Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are The Whole Scoop and Nothing But the Scoop, the health and wellness radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. I know that some of you are listening for the first time. Some of you are just tuning in maybe second or third time, so welcome. And those of you that have been with us and always tell me what you like to hear, thank you so much. And then just remember, if you're not catching us tonight live, we always have shows that are archived, so check it out. Anyway, I am Carol Ferraci, your host, a registered licensed dietitian and founder of Naturally Nutrition, Inc., and you'll find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. So, in case you are joining us for the first time, it's my goal as a healthcare practitioner to provide you with highly qualified guests on a variety of topics to promote your own health and wellness. That is the stipulation for this show. The guests on this show must be credentialed. So you're never going to find anybody on this show telling you to do something that don't have the credentials behind their names, you know, those letters that, those people in white coats carry all the time. They have those credentials behind their names. That's who you're listening to on this show. That is the whole premise of this particular show. That's why it's called The Whole Scoop and Nothing But the Scoop. So, that being said, tonight's show, we're talking about leaky gut. I know everybody's heard about it, and we kind of made a little pun on it, like, no need to call the plumber. Just find out how to fix yourself. So, we do. We talk about leaky gut. That's what we're doing tonight. So let me get the business done, because if you've heard me before, you know I got to do this. I'm going to tell you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics we discuss, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. There, said it. Okay, call-in number is 347-855-8894. 347-855-8894. You can also direct your questions and comments to us on the Facebook, The Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. Please join us. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what you didn't like, you do like, what you want to hear more of, who you like the most. It doesn't matter. Just tell us, you know, just participate with us. We're loving it. TheWholeScoopRadio.com is our website. So you can check that out. Check out more of the bio of our guests. And follow us. Follow us on Facebook. And we will take questions later on in the show if you're up to it. If you're listening by telephone, I can see that there are phone numbers of people listening by phone. And if you decide you want to ask a question, just press the number one. That tells me on this little board I got in front of me that says, hey, you know what, you got a question coming. At that point in time, we're ready to take a question. I'll call out the last four digits of your telephone number. When I do that, then you know that you're the one on the air. So, and don't be shy. We got a lot of people who listen on the phones, and we got a lot of people who don't like to ask questions, and then I hear about it later. Well, what about this? What about that? You know what? Really? Just press the number one, ask the question. We'll all be nice, I promise. And our guest tonight, I'm going to tell you about her in a minute. She's fabulous. You'll love her. If you haven't heard her before, you will absolutely love her. Okay. So who is it? Susan Leakey. She is here with us tonight. She's one fabulous person. She is a registered licensed dietitian and a certified LEAP therapist, or a CLT. She received her MBA from Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas, and a Master of Science degree in nutrition from Texas Women's University in Denton, Texas. Susan has also received extensive training in immunology, adverse food reactions, and practical application of dietary treatment for food-sensitive patients. Since introducing delayed type food hypersensitivity testing and therapy into her private practice, she has seen firsthand how the proper identification of food and chemicals triggers, followed by the implementation of a proven customized lifestyle eating and performance protocol, can help patients reduce inflammation and recover their health. Considered one of the most experienced CLTs in the country, and that is absolutely true, she is actively involved in the training and mentoring of dietitians, yours truly, who are interested in applying the cutting edge protocol in their practice, as well as presenting and or lecturing at local, state, and national dietetic association conferences. Susan uses an integrative and functional medicine approach to medical nutrition therapy. She approaches nutrition and healthcare from an integrative and functional perspective. This approach is firmly entrenched in the belief that the body has the capacity to heal itself if given the right tools and if the underlying causes of disease are addressed. Now, all that being said, let me just tell you, this woman is phenomenal. I know her personally. I'm grateful to know her personally, and I'm honored that she's here with us tonight, and I'm promising you that she will give you the best that she's got, because that's what she is. That's who she is. And I'm going to say, welcome to my friend, Susan Linke. Susan.
Hey, Carol. Hey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm so glad. Honestly, you know, this is going to be a great show. You know, everybody talks about leaky gut, or they heard about leaky gut, or they heard it and they think it's, oh, that's weird. What is that? Or somebody says, no, you have leaky gut, and they don't know what it is. So let's just kind of clear it up a little bit and see how far we go. And you know, I know that we're gonna be talking about this, and it's gonna be 8 o'clock, and we're gonna be lucky to scratch the surface. So let's give it a good try, okay?
All right. Well, leaky gut really isn't a new condition. The father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, who lived over 2,000 years ago, I'm not even sure what year he was around, but it's been thousands of years. He started talking about how disease begins in the gut. They knew it a long time ago. And it's true. The gut is really the hub of our immune system. And for over 3 decades now, we've had study after study after study, thousands of articles that talk about gut permeability or intestinal hyperpermeability, and we just call it leaky gut for short. But it is definitely a medical condition that is acknowledged in the literature for over the last 100 years, actually. And it used to be where we had 10 articles a year about this subject, and now there's over 100 articles every year. So it is becoming more and more recognized by mainstream medicine. The research is definitely there. So, but what is leaky gut? Well, if you think about the gut, it's really interesting. You know, we eat food, large particles of food, but what gets into the body has to be very, very small, right? And so the intestinal layer, the epithelium of the gut, which actually covers more than 4,000 square feet of surface area, has to form a tight barrier in order to allow things to get into the bloodstream to feed us. That's where nutrients come in and whatnot. But it has to be, on the one hand, it has to be large enough to allow nutrients in, but it also has to be small enough where it does not allow or should not allow foreign particles or toxins, bacteria that shouldn't come in, et cetera. So it's really a very delicate balance that has to be achieved by the gut. And in people that are healthy, that balance works really well, and things that shouldn't come in don't come in. But when that balance is compromised, then all of a sudden we start allowing things to pass through into the body that shouldn't, and that's where our immune system starts acting up in a sense and creating inflammation and chronic disease and those types of things.
So, Susan, I just want to be clear. This is after we've eaten, and the food passes through the stomach and it goes into the intestinal gut.
Right.
That's where that's where the food has to be broken down. It's broken down into molecular particles, and the nutrients have to be absorbed. And in order for the nutrients to be absorbed appropriately, all these little mechanisms that you're just talking about, that the tightness of the barrier and it functioning appropriately to keep out toxins, et cetera, have to be in that delicate balance in order to make everything happen and work appropriately. And so I guess to use an analogy, it would be like taking, and you help me out here, okay, because this is just coming off the top of my head. I've never used this analogy before, but I'm trying to give people a visual, okay? So let's just say we have a cup of soup, and we put a piece of saran wrap over the cup of soup, and we flip it upside down, and that barrier has to be pretty tight in order to keep things from leaking. And that's the mucosal barrier you're talking about, correct?
Right. Or another analogy that we could use is if you're straining spaghetti in a colander, for example, or anything that you're straining through a colander, you've got certain size holes in that colander, and hopefully those holes are not so big that your spaghetti doesn't fall through too, right? You just want the water to come through, but not the actual spaghetti. And but if those holes are too big, now you're going to lose your spaghetti as well as your spaghetti water. So you do want some things need to get through, like the spaghetti water. You just don't want it so big that things that shouldn't be coming in don't.
Good point. Thank you. Yeah, that's cool. I just wanted to kind of give a visual out there to let people know that you know, there are things that just have to happen, and they have to happen the right way. And that's a perfect example, because if the colander is not of the right size, then the wrong things go out,
and some of the, I mean, you can also look at it like a fence, and you know, and a fence is put together by, you know, the things that hold the fence together in the gut are called tight junctions. And so when we have leaky gut, then those tight junctions get disrupted, and things start coming through that way. So anything that causes tight junction dysfunction, in a sense, is what causes that leaky gut.
Wow. Well, cool. So now let's just talk about the significance of that. Like, what kinds of things do we see when the gut is not functioning appropriately?
Well, that's when you start to see all types of immune adverse conditions, like allergies or asthma or even autism. They're seeing a connection there between the gut. I saw an article yesterday about the gut and depression, so it can affect mood even, certain mental conditions. Autoimmunity is a really large one. There's different sources have different amounts of autoimmune diseases, somewhere between 80 and 100 autoimmune diseases documented now. And some people may not realize that rheumatoid arthritis, for example, autoimmune thyroid, which is really common, or also called Hashimoto, those are autoimmune conditions. Crohn's disease is an autoimmune condition. So there's a lot of conditions that we may not realize are autoimmune, but they are. Eczema, skin conditions like that, psoriasis, lupus, for example, type 1 diabetes. So there's all kinds. Irritable bowel syndrome is another big one. And anything that causes chronic illness, a lot of times, like migraines or chronic headaches, fibromyalgia, all of those things can be, at least in part, related to gut dysfunction, because that's where 70 to 80% of our immune system is in the gut. And it really makes a lot of sense, because the gut is the primary wall between the outside environment and the inside environment. So it makes sense that most of your immune defenses would be right there.
Yeah. Well, so now let's just kind of take a condition. Let's pick something. Let's just take a condition and say, all right, what can one do to try to reverse? Is it possible to reverse the signs and symptoms of a leaky gut and to get the gut back into good shape? Or, you know, let's just kind of walk it through. And there's a reason, there's a method to my for my madness of this question, and I'm going to explain it in a minute. But let's just start it out, okay?
Yes, and the reality is, and the good news is, that the gut cells regenerate themselves every few days. So the gut, you really can heal your gut. You really, really can. So the question becomes also, part of the answer lies in the question. And the question is, what causes leaky gut to begin with? And then once you answer that question, then you can answer, well, how do we reverse that process? So, So if you don't mind, let's start with maybe what causes leaky gut to begin with. And we have a lot of bacteria in the gut. So anything that impacts your gut microbiota or your gut bacteria can contribute to leaky gut. And as you know, antibiotics are so widely prescribed and overprescribed in many cases. From the time that we're little, we get a sniffle, and the first thing that the doctor often does is prescribe an antibiotic. So, and that, unfortunately, not only kills bad bacteria, but it also kills beneficial bacteria. And we know now that bacteria interact with our own genetic environment and impact our genes. So there's more than just bugs living in our gut. Those bugs actually have a very important function interacting with our own immune system. So when we take an antibiotic, we are really creating that imbalance really creates havoc with that immune system. Then poor diet is another big contributor to leaky gut, especially ones that include inflammatory foods, but foods that contain additives. We know that the additives used in the Western diet adversely affect those tight junctions and contribute to leaky gut. So, you know, when you're looking at a food label, if you see a food label on something that you're purchasing, and it's not something you'd normally carry in your pantry, then don't eat it. choose foods that are as least processed as you possibly can. But if you have to choose foods at the store, then read the label and try to choose foods that have ingredients that you would normally put in those foods if you were cooking them yourself. So the smaller the description is a good rule of thumb in that degree. And interrupt me anytime that you want, Carol, so I don't take off here and keep talking.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Go ahead, and I'm going to jump in here in a minute.
Okay. And even things like alcohol, we know that alcohol also can negatively impact tight junction. So if you're consuming alcohol on an irregular basis, you're probably fine. But if you're having If you're drinking on a regular basis, that may also be contributing to leaky gut and dysbiosis, chronic stress. And how many of us are not stressed out? And we know that stress affects the gut. How many times have we not been super stressed and then we get diarrhea or we get an upset stomach when we get stressed out? Stress definitely affects the gut. So if we're living in an environment of chronic stress due to our job or a situation at home or traffic, I live in Dallas where the traffic is getting increasingly bad and road rage is getting increasingly bad. So even, you know, living in that chronic stress is not healthy for us. Toxic overload, even how many of us don't take maybe aspirin or other forms of NSAIDs on a regular basis, ibuprofen or Tylenol. Those things are not very good at all for our gut and our gut health. Any sort of additive can have an adverse effect on our immune system and contribute to leaky gut.
Let's just break that down for a minute. You know, an additive, those are the things that you might not be able to pronounce in the ingredient list of the food that you're eating. Additives are chemicals. And, the body doesn't really even know what to do with those chemicals, which is why they're not necessarily the greatest for us, because the body has to try to figure out where they got to go and what they have to do with it. And it's just, it's very, very difficult on the system. And the more you eat like that, the more of a buildup you get. And it's kind of like the body goes into an overload situation. And then, you know, we could be here all night talking about the cascading effect of what that causes. And ultimately it leads into an inflammatory response and all the things that you just mentioned at the beginning of the show, correct?
Absolutely. We treat our bodies like a toxic waste dump sometimes, and and our bodies, like you said, don't know what to do with it. But we put things in our body we wouldn't put in any. We wouldn't water our plants with some of the things that we put inside our body. And
We eat things that we wouldn't put in our car because we'd be afraid that our car wouldn't run. And
right.
It's amazing, but we eat them anyway. And it's because we have such trust in the food companies and the food companies and their ingredients. We say, oh, well, they know best, so it must be okay, and it's not, you know. So be careful. And the reason that I'm kind of going on this tangent a little bit is because everything that we're talking about tonight, leaky gut, what it is, how it responds, or how it can play a role into all these chronic issues, all begins with what we're talking about. What we put in has to be processed. And the body, if it's not a natural substance already known to the body, then the body has to figure out what to do with it, which can cause a particular blockage of a system and that delicate balance that Susan described at the beginning of the show, as it relates to the mucosal lining and the intestinal function. It's true about everything in the body, every system in the body. So anything that you ingest has to go somewhere, and it's going to probably negatively impact some system somewhere. Susan, would you agree with that?
No, absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And, you know, a lot of the things, most of the things that we consume have been approved by the FDA. They're generally recognized as safe or GRAS. And the problem, though, is that some of these additives are tested individually. And if you look at any ingredient label, like I said before, we're not consuming one ingredient at a time. We're consuming multiple, hundreds of these additives all at the same time. And I'm not aware of any study, there might be some, but I'm not aware of any study where they're looking at the conglomeration of additives that we're consuming on a daily basis in such large quantities.
That's an excellent point. And I'm not aware of anything either, but I don't even know if such a study is possible, because you would have to isolate certain groups together in order to perform a study. And it's almost impossible for the combinations of foods that we eat daily to kind of go with, you know, you might be able to pick, like, you know, the most heavily sold food items or something and kind of go with that but that would be a long-term study to find out, and I'm not aware of anything like that. So, but when all of this matters, because when you're talking about leaky gut and you're talking about our immune system starting in the gut, and 70%, 78% of it is in the gut, and the gut has to be healthy, and we take in things that we can't even A, pronounce, and B, we have no clue as to how it actually impacts the body, then we get into that whole situation where we don't feel well, and then we continue to not feel like we should, and then we're run down, and then we're a little run down. We think we bounce back up, but then we really don't bounce back up, and there's that underlying gnawing thing of, I don't feel well, but I don't know why, but I think I'm okay, and I'm really not, and that goes on for a while, and then all of a sudden, we end up with something that's a little more serious, and we kind of have to, like, figure out what it is, and we got to go to the doctor, and we go to the doctor, and we're told maybe you have irritable bowel syndrome, because that kind of encompasses all kinds of things that we're really not even sure that we can put one finger on and say, okay, it's this. And then we get some medication, and we hope to feel better. But what we don't know, and what we're not familiar with, is that medication also has added ingredients, and those added ingredients are also chemicals. And then those particular chemicals can have a negative impact on what you're doing and what we're feeling. And then you're kind of feeling bad again. And it's just, can you feel this cycle that I'm describing? It just kind of keeps going on and on and on. And then we escalate into a full-blown inflammatory response, which I know Susan's about to get into and talk to you about. But I kind of had to get onto this little tangent because it's a matter of what we do every single day impacts how we feel at any given time and how our bodies react. So you got to pay attention.
Absolutely. The thing is that, No, absolutely. And also, you know, these medications only address the symptoms. They're really not fixing anything. You know, the doctor's goal usually is for you to be on those medications long term, because, again, they're not really fixing anything, and that's really not, you know, they're just meant to treat the symptoms. So,
yeah, it's really not the goal. And then, you know, you can couple that with the multiple medications that people are on. And you're right. Each medication is designed for a particular system. So if you're taking, Nexium, then it's designed to inhibit a particular function, a physiological function in the body to limit the amount of gastric juices produced in the stomach. And that's not necessarily normal, because your body is producing what it thinks it needs to. And if it tends to be off and you're having reflux, then there has to be an underlying reason for that. And Susan, I'm going to go back to your bio for a second, because I felt like I need to just kind of reiterate this. The approach that you use is a functional medicine approach to medical nutrition therapy, and this approach is firmly entrenched in the belief that the body has the capacity to heal itself if given the right tools and if the underlying causes of diseases are addressed. So how does that statement relate to what I just said as it relates to the medications and what you just said and how each system is addressed per medication, but not necessarily the whole system. Because I want people to understand that there's a reason why we have leaky gut. There's a reason why we have the inflammation as it relates to that and how we cascade to this. And then this is how we bring it back. So maybe you could just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yep, absolutely. And one thing, you know, an analogy I've been using recently that I think is really kind of cool is imagine if you cut yourself. You know, you're cutting chicken or whatever and the knife slips and you cut your finger. And all of a sudden, you know, you wash it, you clean it, and you wait a few minutes and all of a sudden the body does its own stitching. You know, you wait a few minutes and all of a sudden you stop bleeding and you start forming a scar and your body's done surgery in a matter of minutes. If you really think about it, it is mind-blowing to see how quickly it's almost like a sci-fi movie. You just keep your hand there long enough and all of a sudden you've got a scab. It's really amazing. And so that really demonstrates just how quickly that immune system goes to bat for you and how quickly it wants to heal you. Well, most of your immune system is in your gut. So if it's happening that fast on the outside of your body, just think it's happening just as quickly or trying to on the inside of your body as well. The problem is we're constantly throwing things in and disabling that immune system from doing its job. So if we will change what we're throwing into our body, then now we have the ability to allow that immune system to do its job, just like when we cut ourselves, right? If we don't remove the dirt from a wound, then it's not going to heal very well, or it'll cause an infection. But if we wash that wound and do everything we need to on the outside of that skin, then that skin will heal nicely. So we just need to stop putting the dirt in so that the immune system can do what it's meant to do, and that is protect us and heal us and keep us well.
Nice analogy. I like that a lot. That really, you know, and it's a perfect analogy because when we cut ourselves, we all know what to do. We apply pressure, we hold it, and we allow for it, just to give it enough time to kind of take hold and do what it needs to do. But the other side of that, Susan, is we all take it for granted. We just like say, oh yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. But we don't really think about all the things that may have gone into that particular scenario to make that happen so quickly. And everything has to be just right. And because if it's not, then it doesn't happen. How many people do you know that are on, you know, a blood thinner? And when that happens to them, do they heal that easily? No.
Right.
How many people do you know that have diabetes and, you know, have feet issues because their diabetes and their blood sugars are out of limit or out of range, and they can't do that like we know it to be. So that's a perfect example of when something is out of congruence in the body, what can happen. And it's also another perfect example as to what medications, you know, Coumadin has a specific function, and that's to thin the blood. But the other side of that is when you cut yourself, you have to be very careful. And because we won't have that mechanism for stopping and clotting and healing as quickly. So we have the ability to influence how our bodies respond. And those are two great examples. So I think that if we break it down some more, if you just start thinking about what might be happening and what you usually take for granted, it will help with what you're putting. It helps with heightening, making you more aware of what you're putting into your body, and you go, huh, wonder what this can do, you know, or doesn't do, or should, or, you know, might do that I don't want it to do. So it's a matter of awareness and then dealing with it, don't you think, Susan?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of people that are on medications just can't get off those medications. And I'm not, definitely not asking anybody to get off of a medication, but so the healthiest thing that we can do, or the safest thing that we can do just for starters, is to clean up our diet. So one thing that we can all safely do is try to limit or stop eating processed foods. You know, if you can buy a bag of bread and leave it on your kitchen counter for 3 weeks or 3 months, and it still looks the same as when you bought it, that's a pretty good clue that, and not even roaches will eat a piece of, you know, some kind of bread. So if the roaches won't eat it, then we shouldn't either. And so that is the safest, probably step number one that we can all do, and that is to try to eat foods that are minimally processed, don't have those ingredients that we cannot pronounce, and start eating foods. You know, if a food doesn't contribute to vitamins and minerals and antioxidants, then it's really almost like a dead food. What is it doing for you? So if you can do most of your shopping in the produce aisle, where you're eating fruits and vegetables and foods that are really living, those not only provide nutrients, but they provide enzymes to help you digest those foods. How many people aren't taking digestive enzymes? Well, foods contain their own enzymes. So if we were to eat foods that contain their own enzymes, we probably wouldn't be as dependent on external digestive enzymes. So that's the number one place that we can start. We can all start there. And, you know, even if you're busy, we're all busy, and we're just getting busier, it seems like. What happened to computers? They were supposed to make our life easier, but it seems like we're all busier. But you know, and I'm not saying it's, we do it for convenience a lot of times, the eating out. But fortunately, there's more and more and more restaurants popping up now that are healthy choices, that are just, you pick your protein, you pick your vegetables. And so there's a lot more of those restaurants popping up. One way I find them is even on Google. I just Google healthy food near me, or healthy restaurant near me, and that helps populate my Google search with restaurants that have healthier choices, that don't use a lot of processed ingredients. So if you're having to eat out a lot because you travel, you're just too busy, there really are some better options out there. We really live in a good time now where those things are readily available. So that's one thing. And then if you cook at home, there's easy ways too now of doing maybe like sheet pan dinners, where you roast your chicken and your vegetables all in one pan, throw them in the oven, and they actually taste fantastic. So search for sheet pan dinners. That's one easy way. You're only getting dirty one pan, and maybe a chopping board or something like that. But those are some super easy ways to make dinners where you're not including any processed items. So those are some easy. So I do recognize that we're all busy, but thankfully there are some nice options to start in that direction.
Yeah, those are really great options. But you know what, Susan, I kind of want to hit on some of the nutrients that are essential for maintaining a healthy gut. I think we should kind of give people a little bit of an overview. Let's talk about like probiotics. Let's talk about zinc. Let's talk about, you know, just some of the things that we know help with that to strengthen the mucosal barrier.
Okay. So Can I backtrack just a little bit, just to kind of summarize a little bit on some of the things that you should not put in your diet? So just
Absolutely.
To summarize, yeah, so just to close that chapter in our conversation. So when you're eating, they've run studies. They know that foods that are high in salt, for example, have an association with loosening up those tight junctions. So cutting back on the sodium, and if you're using salt, I would suggest using a good sea salt, for example, that has a lot more minerals than just sodium chloride. Then foods that are high in sugar, also glucose was found to increase gut permeability in some studies, so cutting back on that. Foods that have emulsifiers like polysorbate 80, for example, even things like cellulose gum has also been associated with not just colon cancer, but also with leaky gut. And then because the emulsifiers, they also act like detergents to disrupt that mucus layer that you have lining the gut. So we don't need that detergent in our gut. And then gluten for a lot of people also is a major disruption to those tight junctions. So many people have found that just avoiding gluten makes them feel much better. So that may be another. So those are some things that... that contribute to leaky gut. So cleaning up the diet, avoiding foods that are highly processed, avoiding an excess of sodium and sugar and all of those preservatives. So now switching to things that we can do to help fix the leaky gut. And the main one that I talked about a few minutes ago was cutting out processed foods. So just changing the diet will go a long way, but one thing to keep in mind is that once we develop leaky gut, then a lot of times we develop food allergies and food sensitivities. So then even good food can become our temporary enemy. And we can have a food allergy or a food sensitivity to almost anything. And unfortunately, even healthy foods. How many people do you not know that have an egg allergy or sensitivity, or a peanut allergy or sensitivity, or sensitivities to tree nuts, for example? So those are really common. But some people can have a food allergy or a food sensitivity to salmon or turmeric or vanilla or things like spinach, things like that. So if you suspect that certain foods make you sick, but you don't know which ones, then I strongly recommend getting tested for food allergies, but more importantly for food sensitivities. Those are actually more common and more pervasive. So I use the mediator release test, or MRT, in my practice. It works really well. It helps me develop an anti-inflammatory diet that is personalized to you. And so by doing that, we can reduce inflammation, and that really helps start that process of healing that leaky gut. Because as long as you're putting in inflammatory foods, even though they may be healthy for the general population, we're not going to get very far in healing that leaky gut. Do you want me to keep going, or do you have something to interject, Jill?
Yeah, let's go. Well, I think maybe what we should do at this point, I want you to keep going, but let's kind of pinpoint some of those. I'm kind of debating here on whether, because we're going to run short on time again. And I'm just thinking, you know, I kind of want to get into some of the nutrients that are really good. Let's talk about zinc and vitamin D, and then maybe circle back to how food sensitivity, if captured appropriately, can then kind of pull everything back into place, and how that happens. But let's just kind of give a little bit of an overview as to why it's important to know about probiotics and the difference between pro and prebiotic, and why we need to have them, or, you know, the omega-3s or the phosphatidylcholine or, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so there's certain nutrients that we know are anti-inflammatory or directly impact those tight junctions. And one of them would be vitamin D. And vitamin D is very important. Your cells have vitamin D receptors, and vitamin D helps regulate those tight junctions. And so, and how many of us use a lot of sunscreen, or we're not outdoors, or even if we are outdoors, as we age, we lose the ability or we lessen the ability to absorb vitamin D from the sun. So our vitamin D levels drop. And if you have an autoimmune condition, it is very, very common to have vitamin D deficiency. So if you're listening to me and you have an autoimmune condition, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, lupus, so many other, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, if you have an autoimmune condition, please ask your doctor to check your vitamin D levels. They will almost always be low. And you're not going to get very far in fixing that leaky gut if your vitamin D is low. And actually, with autoimmune conditions, they've done a lot of studies and found that there's a very strong correlation between your vitamin D levels and the severity of your autoimmune condition. So you can go to the internet and find credible research. If you look at lupus and vitamin D, or Crohn's disease and vitamin D, or type 1 diabetes and vitamin D, whatever your autoimmune condition is, if you look, you will find that strong connection between the severity of your condition and vitamin D. And then, of course, probiotics, because it's all about the gut bacteria in our gut interact with our own immune system. And if we've been on antibiotics, and most of us have, then repairing, putting back in some good bacteria is critically important. And we can do it through taking a probiotic supplement, or there's some foods like a good yogurt that has cultures in it, or foods that are probiotic in nature, like fermented foods, for example, that we can consume, and that will help. And then there's also foods that are prebiotic in nature, and those are foods that feed the healthy bacteria. So foods that are high in resistant starch, like certain plantains and potatoes that have been cooked and then cooled, are a source of resistant starch, or other fibers, for example, Jerusalem artichokes and some other foods. And if you go to the internet and look for sources of prebiotic foods, you'll find whole lists of them. But onions, for example, garlic are prebiotic foods. And some people with gut issues can't tolerate onions and garlic, but if you can, those are good prebiotic foods as well. Did you have anything to interject, Carol?
I'm good. Wholeheartedly agree with listening. Thanks.
Okay. Zinc is another one, especially zinc carnosine, which you can find at your health food store, has been shown to be very helpful in repairing those tight junctions. Now, if I would encourage you to work with a healthcare practitioner, because some people may have low copper levels in their blood, and zinc and copper balance each other out. And so if you're taking too much zinc, it might affect your copper levels. So it is important when you're taking minerals like that to know whether you have a deficiency when you start taking them, or is it going to impact something else I may have a deficiency in. So please work with a healthcare provider when you're adding these supplements in. Even, you know, check your vitamin D levels, and don't assume that just because you're taking it, you're absorbing it. So it's good to get a before and after measurement when you're taking vitamin D. And also the same with work with somebody that can regulate your zinc intake, but that is another really good supplement to help. Some people like to take glutamine. That's another helpful one. And again, work with your healthcare provider, because it's always a good idea to start low and go slow when you're taking some supplements to make sure that you can tolerate them. Sometimes when you're starting too much, too quickly, especially with probiotics, a lot of people have too much bad bacteria. And before you take a probiotic, you need to get rid of the bad bacteria, or you'll end up with a lot of bloating. So that's another reason to work with a healthcare provider that can evaluate what your current health situation is. And if you need to remove that bad bacteria first, just like removing the dirt from the cut on your hand before it can heal, sometimes you need to do that. So I encourage you to really work with a healthcare practitioner. Curcumin is a really good anti-inflammatory agent, and unless you have a food sensitivity to it, that's also a nice one to help reduce that inflammation.
Nice.
Do you want to add anything, Carol?
No, I'm good. I really wanted to talk about vitamin D and zinc. So you did, and there's a question here about, can you take too much zinc? And I think maybe we should just elaborate on that. It is possible to take too much zinc, but at the same time, that's why Susan's cautioning you to work and encouraging you to work with a healthcare practitioner, because those are the people that you want to be gauging those things for you, and don't just take it upon yourself to say, okay, you know what? I think I have enough. I think I didn't overdo it. That's just kind of shooting in the dark. So you never want to do that. It's always a good idea to work with a practitioner. Just like what Susan said earlier, we'll never tell you to not take your prescription medications, and we'll never encourage you to do that by any means. This show is about awareness. So be aware and seek the right book and go for it. You know?
Right. And would you? Yeah. And if I can plug one test that I like, there's a micronutrient test that I use called SpectraCell, and I like it because it measures 30 different micronutrients at the cellular level. So sometimes what you have in your blood is really not what your cells absorb. So SpectraCell measures intracellular levels of 30 different micronutrients. So they look at your zinc, they look at your copper, they look at your magnesium and vitamin C and a lot of your antioxidants and all your B vitamins and your vitamin D because a lot of these nutrients, all of these nutrients interact with one another. Zinc will affect your vitamin A. Vitamin A impacts your vitamin D. You can't synthesize vitamin D without magnesium and vitamin K. And they're all, you know, your leg bones connected to your hip bone. And so all of those nutrients work together. And so if you have the whole big picture, then you can tweak whatever needs tweaking without upsetting the whole apple cart.
That's an excellent point, and I do like SpectraCell a lot for that reason. It eliminates the guesswork, and it really just allows you to zero in on what you need to look at, what needs to happen, and it's a nice test. It really is.
It is, and you can call them. Yeah, you can call them, or I think there's a form you can fill out on their website to find a practitioner. So that would be one way to find a practitioner that you know would work with you to help you determine what your micronutrient status is. So, and a lot of times they do take insurance. So there is a small copay that you pay, but it is a reasonable price also for that SpectraCell test.
That's great. Susan, we are
6 minutes out, and we had I covered the one question. There was another question that came through on the blog, but you were actually in the middle of talking about it, and you answered it before, and so it was all good. And thank you for blogging those questions, by the way. So if you were to wrap this up for leaky gut, and you were kind of just to do a short synopsis on what to say to people, how would you do it?
Well, the good news is that the gut is on your side, and its job is to keep harmful things out and also to heal you. And the gut is the hub of the immune system. So even if you have headaches, joint pain, it can all be related to the health of your gut. So if you will address your gut health, you'll be amazed at how you might be sleeping better, your mood might be better, your headaches might improve, all of those things. So, and the good news is that is our gut is something that is within our control. And, you know, a lot of us don't want to be dependent on doctors the rest of our lives. We don't want to be dependent on drugs or even supplements the rest of our lives. And the good news is that making some dietary changes and then maybe fixing some deficiencies along the way and addressing some food sensitivities, we can get our health back under our control and really start to lead a normal life. And that's the really good news.
That's great. So how do people get in touch with you, Susan?
You can look up my name, Susan Linke, L-I-N-K-E. And so I've got a website, susanlinke.com, or my email is real simple. It's info@susanlinke.com. And I do free screening calls. So if you have, you know, questions, I'm more than happy to speak with you. And if I can, connect you with a healthcare provider in your area even.
Nice. Wow. I can't, you know, every time we do a show, or it's just amazing how much the time just flies by, and we barely skim the surface. You know, it's just amazing to me. It's just, I don't even know what to say. There are so many things to talk about and so many things to just keep going with. So I encourage everybody who's listening tonight to think about what was said tonight. And if you want us to elaborate in a certain area, please let us know. And I'll do my best to make that happen. And we'll kind of go from there and see, because as much as I enjoy every single guest that's on the show, and especially people like Susan that just are just such plethoras of information and just are amazing people, we can only go so far without hearing from you and saying, okay, let's zero in on this. This is what you want to hear. So let us know. We're open. Susan, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Fascinating.
Thank you,
so,
Carol. I really enjoy. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always thoroughly enjoy being on your show. A lot of fun.
Well, you're welcome anytime. And if you come up, Susan, if there's anything you want to get out there, you know, as you're going through your practice and they're saying, hey, you know, there's something I want to get out there, please just let me know and we'll figure it all out, okay?
Sounds great.
And on that note, we're going to say good night to everybody, and we're going to say that we'll see you again in a couple of weeks, where we got some good shows coming up. Check our blog for the next few shows coming up. We're going to start posting ahead of time so that people know what to expect and can plan their day. That kind of makes sense, right? All right, everybody, we still do not have outro music. I have no idea. We have uploaded and downloaded and uploaded and tried new things, and it's just not working. So I'm going to say goodnight, and it's going to be a quiet goodnight without any kind of music. So, Susan, thank you, and we'll talk to you again. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Carol. Good night, everybody. Thank you.